worship him today. God, you are worthy. You are our King. You are our Savior. You are our Creator, God. You are so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. As you're finding your way to your seats, would you open up your Bibles to Genesis 22, verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1. Right at the beginning. Genesis 22, verse 1, and it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am." You can be seated this morning. "Here I am" is what Abraham's response to God was when God said, "Abraham." Abraham didn't hear what the instructions were. God didn't say, "What do you want?" I know I've done this with my children where I'm like, "Jack, what do you want, Dad?" No, just go, come here. Like, say, "I'm ready. I'm here. I'm listening," right? In this part of the Bible, when we see this phrase, "Here I am," what it means is I'm ready, I'm paying attention, and I will submit. And so we see this in this story with Abraham. We see it in 22, 1 verse 2, and so I'll read it again. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." We see in this story Abraham, who's one of the fathers of the faith. He's the one that God makes the deal with and says, "You're going to be the father of a great nation. There's going to be a lot of people that come from you. You're going to be blessed. The people will bless you. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed." And we hear this whole story about this great man. And then in this moment here, and he's already had his son Isaac at this time, the promised. Remember, he's going to have descendants as many as the stars, as many as the grains of sand, but he's only got one son. Okay, so there's that. And he's in the land. He's started to see the promise. And then God calls him and says, "Abraham." And Abraham responds and says, "Here I am." And God asked for a sacrifice. And he asked him to go and do. Go and sacrifice. This phrase is not unique to this story. This idea of "here I am" or "here I am." You can put your emphasis on whatever word you want there. We see it again in his grandson, Jacob. We see it in Jacob in Genesis 31:10, and it says, "And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift up your eyes, lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which sleep on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family." We see it with Abraham. "Abraham, here I am. Jacob, here I am." And God, when Jacob responds with "here I am," it's not "go sacrifice your son." It's a different. He says, "I see you. I see what's going on in your life. I see the unfairnesses. I see your boss is treating you unfairly, who's also your father-in-law. I see the injustices going on in your life. I see you, and I'm still your God." Because remember, Jacob, you and I made a deal back at Bethel. "I will honor our vows. Get up and get out of this land, because this land is not benefiting you." And so to this response, he says, "Jacob." He just calls his name. And the response from Jacob is, "Here I am." And God says, "I see you. I am your God. I honor our vows. Get up and get out of this land." Jacob gets a little bit older, and we know his sons. He had 12 sons, and one of them is Joseph. And Joseph gets sold as a slave to Egypt. And then there's some reconciliation that happens there, and his brothers finally find him. And he calls them all back to Egypt, and Jacob, who is now called Israel, wants to go see his son Joseph in Egypt. Genesis 46. And it says this, so Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. After Jacob finds out, after Israel, his name gets changed to Israel, after Israel finds out that his son is still alive, he's offering sacrifices to God, and God says, Jacob, Jacob. He calls him twice this time, but the response is still the same. The response is still, here I am. And God's response is, I'm still your God. Do not fear. Go. I will be with you. And he says, I want to do something great in your life. That son that you thought was lost, he's going to put his hands on your eyes. Your generations will still be my generations. And so we see it again, this repetitive pattern. We see it in Abraham. We see it in Jacob as a younger man. We see it in Jacob as an older man when he's called Israel. Abraham, Jacob, here I am. In Exodus 3, verse 1, there's the story of Moses. We know that Moses was supposed to be killed as a baby, but he was saved by being put in a little tiny little boat that they put down the Nile, the river, in Egypt, and the daughter of Pharaoh picks him up and raises him as her own. And there comes a time when he starts to realize that his people are being oppressed, and he's like, I can't deal with this, and he runs into the desert, probably because they're trying to get him. Depends on which version of the movie you're watching. No, I'm just kidding. But he runs into the desert, and he's tending the flock. He meets a woman, they get married. He's tending the flock of his father-in-law. And verse 1 says this, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. How many people have heard the story of the burning bush? Moses sees a bush and it's burning, but the leaves are not like turning black, and the wood is not actually disintegrating and turning into anything. There's just a flame around this bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside. I'm sure he said it just like that. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Moses is curious. This is a really unique thing going on. I want to go see what this is about. So when the Lord saw, verse 4, that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. God is telling Moses at this moment, he's saying, this is a holy place where you're standing. I am your God. I know the struggles and the bondage of my people. I know the struggles and the bondage of your people that are still in Egypt, that are still slaves. I hear their cry. I want them to be free. Go, and I will be with you. The message, the calling is the same in these. The response is the same in these. And God's direction is slightly different in all of them. But we're seeing this pattern of a response to God calling our names. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. God wasn't just out there speaking to everybody, saying, oh, I'm going to say this to you and to you, and you go tell these people this. It was rare. There wasn't this widespread revelation, so the priests were just there doing their thing. Doesn't sound like God was speaking through everybody in a regular manner. And so Eli was lying down at his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was laying down, he wasn't tending sheep, right? He wasn't cutting deals like Abraham was beforehand. chapter 4, he was negotiating. He wasn't Jacob. He wasn't offering a sacrifice. He wasn't going to see his long-lost son. He was just laying down. And Samuel's a boy, just a little boy at this time. And it came to pass while Samuel was lying down that the Lord called Samuel. This is funny. And he said, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. This is a small boy. This is a person in a time when God's word was not being spoken in this way, was not being spoken to people, and he didn't even know God. He was just there at the temple trying to help out where he could, lying down for the night. He did not know God, and the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must speak. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And now when the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Samuel answered, "I'm ready, I'm paying attention, and I will submit. Here I am." Maybe his last response wasn't, "Here I am," but the first one was, "Here I am." And the next three were, "Here I am." Samuel's response was the same as Abraham and Jacob's. It was the same as Moses. God called his name, "Samuel," and he said, "Here I am." The difference is Samuel hadn't had a relationship with God like Abraham had. He didn't have the relationship with God that Jacob had in the altar at Bethel. He didn't have the relationship that Moses had. Samuel was new. He didn't know God. And God calls his name, "Samuel, Samuel." And it took a little time for him to understand it was God. But when he did, he said, "Here I am. I'm ready. I'm available. And I will submit." We read in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying," this is Isaiah, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am. Send me." Here I am, send me. Isaiah is a prophet in Israel, and at this time, the king of Israel had just died. And Isaiah had a vision, and in this vision, he saw all this glory and the splendor of God and the angels of God calling holy, and it was just crazy, awe-inspiring moment. More than just Samuel going to sleep at night. More than Abraham or Jacob making a sacrifice. Maybe more than even a burning bush. There's just this awesome experience. And he's sitting there, he's like, I am not worthy to be in this presence with the most holy God. We sang about it this morning. Holy, holy, holy is our God. And in that vision, it says, "Who shall I send and who will go before us?" And he says, "Here I am. Send me." And God says, "Go and talk to my people." Phil mentioned the story this morning, but we read in Acts 9 about Ananias. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias!" And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And so the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done. Are you sure? This dude's a bad dude. He's out there putting Christians in prison and stoning them." But the Lord said, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." "Ananias!" And he said, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord." And God responds, "Say, go and pray for Saul." We see this theme of, "Here I am, I'm ready, I'm available, I will submit." this theme all throughout the Bible. Those are just the versions where they actually use the word "here I am" in it. But the idea exists so many other places. And I think if we can, you know, we could just look at one story and maybe preach or tell a lesson from one story. But I like, sometimes I find the lesson in reading all the stories, because I can compare and contrast and see what God is really speaking to me through this pattern that I seem to see in His Word. I love patterns. I can learn from patterns. What I notice in all these things is that God is calling everyone. There's not this certain select group of people that God is calling. It's not just Abraham, the father of the faithful. It's also Samuel, the little boy who didn't even know God. It's not just Isaiah who's having a vision and he's seeing this all-powerful scene and this just awesome thing to God. It's also a shepherd out in the woods, probably avoiding, not the woods, but the desert, the mountain, probably avoiding the things that he's supposed to be doing in Egypt. God's calling is for everyone, and He calls everyone by name. And if this is the pattern I see in the Bible, that pattern exists today. God is calling you by name, and He is looking for the response of "here I am." That's the only response we're seeing. That's a good response. It's not a "here I go." It's not a "there I will be." It's a "here I am." God is so passionate about the response of "here I am." The response that says, "well, this is where I'm at. I mean, and this is me, so what do you want?" I think we struggle with that mindset sometimes. We struggle with the mindset that God is calling and I gotta go. Yes, He talked about going in a lot of these things. But the initial response God is looking for is "here I am." He doesn't care what your background is. He wants "here I am." We get confused sometimes trying to hear God's voice. I think of Samuel. I think of Samuel not knowing what God's voice sounded like. Too often, I heard this said once, too often we say, "I'd like to hear God's voice." And I think God's up there saying, "hold on, I'm always talking. You don't need to hear my voice. You need to learn to know it's my voice." Because all the other voices in your life are distractions. And when you have a lot of noise coming into your life and you have a lot of distractions coming into your life, it's naturally going to be difficult to hear my voice. Because I'm always speaking, I'm always calling, and I'm calling to every single person. There isn't somebody out here that God's like, "well, I'm going to wait for that person." He's calling out to you now. And if we could just remove the distractions and focus on listening for His voice, you will hear it, because He is talking. He's calling out to you specifically. But we got to remove those distractions, those competing interests. God is calling you. He's calling you, but He also meets you where you are. In every one of these stories, God met people where they were, whether it was shepherding or about to go to sleep or just finishing a sacrifice. God met people where they were. I think there's this idea sometimes that I can't be here to meet God. I have to be there to meet God. I have to go here first before I can meet God. I have to do this thing before I can respond to God. My location is not a good spot. My sin, my actions, my choices is not a good spot to respond to God. And so I'm just going to sit and chill. But God is showing us in these lessons that your location does not matter. In fact, your location is perfect, because every response said, "here I am. Here is where I'm at, God." And God's like, "boom, good. We can start there. We can start at here. Don't worry about there. We'll get to there. Let's start at here." And so if somebody's here today and you're like, "well, I need to get there first. I need to know this first. I need to be in this position. I need to be going to church for this long. I need to be making these right choices. I don't know enough about God." God is saying, "no, here is where I want to meet you. Not my here, your here." Because every single person responded with "here I am. Our location does not matter. Whether we're a disciple or a prophet, a disciple like Ananias or a prophet like Isaiah or a child like Samuel who had never heard his voice. Whether it was Jacob being treated unfairly by his uncle and his boss, or Abraham or Moses alone in the wilderness just running sheep. Our location does not matter. God says he's calling each and every one of you by name, Peter! And our response is, here I am. This is the spot I'm at, God. And God's response is not, well, if you could just, you know, this is not a good enough spot. It's like, no, I can work from here. I can work from here. I can work from where you're at. And so wherever you're at, whatever location you're in, whatever situation, whatever condition you think you're in, if you will go to God and say, God, here I am. God, here I am in the midst of my struggles. Here I am in the midst of my sins. Here I am in the midst of my stupidities. Here I am in the midst of my dumb choices. Here I am in the midst of just garbage that happened to me on accident. Here I am in the midst of being treated unfairly. Here I am in my marriage struggles. Here I am in my financial struggles. Here I am in the things going on in my life that I can't understand. God's like, I can meet you there. He's calling you by name. Specifically. Your location does not matter. Your status does not matter. Your background, where you're coming from, what you know about God, what you don't know about God, it does not matter. God is calling you by name. They don't use the phrase, here I am here, but in Genesis 3:8, we read the story of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had this great relationship with God in the garden. And they heard the sound of the Lord, verse 8. They sin. They listen to the snake. They sin. And they hear the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. How cool would that be? That's just a normal thing. Like, oh, here comes God again. Man, hey, God, did you see this fruit that we were eating? This is good fruit. But this time, they heard the sound of God in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? I think he could have said, here I am. I think he could have said, here I am. Yeah, we just made a big mistake, God. Here I am. And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Can I tell you that sin and shame and fear want you to stop from raising your hands and saying, here I am. Sin and shame and fear want us to hide from God's presence, want us to hide from saying, here I am, because there's something in us that says, I couldn't deserve it. My status isn't right. And God is saying, just raise your hands and say, here I am. Here I am. Everything we read about God is that he is merciful and he wants the best for us. Every single call God makes is a call for a change in direction or purpose. He said, he's telling him, are you good with just shepherding Moses? Because I've got more for you. Are you good, Jacob, with never seeing your son? Because I've got more for you. Are you good, Abraham, where you're at? Because I've still got a generation for you. Ananias, do you want to impact my kingdom greatly? Who will go? God is calling you because he loves you. He is calling you to this relationship with him, this closeness with him, and he does not care about you, where you are. He wants somebody that's here. Not here, wherever you're at, wherever your here is. He wants you to be great. He wants you to finally understand how much he loves you, how much he cares about you. He wants you to have love and joy and peace, to feel grace and hope and compassion, to have freedom and liberty and purpose. Maybe you're just like these stories and you're just kind of doing your thing. Maybe you're brand new to God, or you've never experienced God like Samuel, or you're Isaiah and you're a prophet of God and God's done great things in your life, but God is calling you for more, to get to know him more, to be closer to him, to pursue him at all costs. And if that's all true, then our response matters. If that's all true, then our response matters. The response is recorded, here I am. Our response matters. I think of Matthew 22, and I'll tell the story and then I'll go to the verse. But we hear the story of a king whose son is about to get married. And the king says, hey, we're almost done. Send out the invitations to everybody that's invited. It's graduation season. How many people have got invites for graduations? The ones I get say Peter and Casey on the front, and then we open it up and it says, come hang out with Kenley for a while, right? Come hang out with Aiden for a while, right? But they say Peter and Casey. There's a name on the invitation. God is calling us by name. God wants us to come to this awesome, awesome time with him and his family and to hang out. But no one came. No one came. So he asked his servants, go out again and invite them and let them know. Just, hey, in case you guys didn't know, actually everything's ready. We're not waiting. You're not going to sit here in the big line waiting for the pig to finish. Nope, no pigs back then. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. But they made light of it. They went on their own way. They worked their farms. They did their businesses. And so the king broadens the invite. It says, go into the highways and go into the byways. Go into the rich neighborhoods and the poor neighborhoods. Go to the homeless people. Go to the people that have money. Go to the people that are sinning. Go to the people that aren't sinning. Go to everybody and invite them to me. Invite them to my party. And he says in there, he's like, anyone, anyone can come. We've talked about this a number of times. He says, sorry, the door, but Jesus came and opened the door to everyone. We've talked about how that's anyone. It's also whoever. Remember the woman at the well? Whoever will drink. Not some special person. Whoever. Whoever wants to say, here I am. I want a drink of water. Romans 10:3 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord. Here I am, Jesus. I need your help in my time. You heard your people with Moses. Whoever, John 3:16, believes on him should have everlasting life. Whoever wants to raise their hands and say, here I am. That's who this is for. And then you read this whole story of the people that were invited and they don't come and they're just too busy. You know, life, work is hard. You got to work. You got to make money for your family. It's all important. But this relationship with God, I'm busy right now. And so he invites everybody. And at the end of that story, verse 14, it says this, for many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few respond. Few say, here I am. You got an invite for my name? Okay, Jesus, here I am. Many are called. Everyone is called, but few say, here I am. Few choose to respond and say, here I am. I know I'm not good enough. I know I might not ever make it. I know I've got work to do. I know I've been living for you, but you want me to take this next step. I know I'm new like Samuel, and I've never heard your voice, and I don't know anything about this whole church stuff or God stuff or Bible stuff, but here I am because I want a purpose in my life. Many are called, but few respond. Few choose to say, here I am, or I want my life to be changed. I'm willing to obey your word. Let's stand this morning. God. Can we worship today? Let's lift our hands and worship right now. Let's lift our hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are so good, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is calling you today. Not your neighbor, not the person who's wearing the suit, not the person who you think has it all figured out. God is calling you today because he has a purpose. He has a relationship he wants to have for you. He wants to bring you into greener pastures. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to lead you into good places so that you can grow and bear awesome fruit and you will see love and joy and peace in your life. He's calling out to you specifically today by name. How will you respond? He wants to bring you out of that current life that's ending up in the same bad choices over and over again with the same results. He wants to clean out your heart and create a new heart for his spirit to live inside. Where he comes, his spirit comes and live inside you and directs you and guides you. How will you respond? Will we respond like Adam and Eve? Will we continue to hide and be distracted and to avoid the voice of God in our lives? Or will we come down to the front this morning and raise our hands and say, here I am, God. You know exactly where I'm at. You know exactly where I'm at. The choice is yours.